Yo, what's up, guys? Ash Cash, the financial motivator, and you are now tuned in to the Blowing Bubbles podcast. Guess what, y'all? Stay popping. Let's go.
Hello. What's up? What's up? What's popping? Welcome to another edition of the Blowing Bubbles podcast. This is your girl, Karana Hosey, the creator of the coolest safe space on the planet where overwhelmed mothers come to unwind. We're going to go from overwhelmed to overjoyed, and we got a treat in store for you tonight. I got my sister here, none other than Juva 3 Alexander.
Hey, y'all. Woo!
But y'all know the drill. Y'all know the drill. You know I'm a solo podcaster, so guess what I'm about to do? I'm going to go on my phone, and I'm going to share. I'm going to make sure I tag my sister. So yes, that people can get it while we're doing this. Share, 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 share. We want it. This is going to be a great episode. It's Fight Like a Girl. We are going to get in it. You hear me? Let's
love
go.
It.
Share.
All right. Let me grab my phone. Let me see where you shared.
I have the bomb audience, man. You all are so amazing. I thank you. You guys have been rocking with me. Let me know you're in the place, man. Let me know you are here. Give me a holla. I'm trying to tag my sis so that this goes directly to her page. And I don't know how I did it. I mentioned you in the comments. I don't know if that's the same. But you can share it to your page. Because my profile is public, so they'll be able to see it.
All right. I think what I'm going to do is just share your...
Yes, you can just share my live so that your viewers will see it. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hey, come on in. This is going to be a good, powerful episode of the Blowing Bubbles. Lolo, what's up, my sister? Hey, sister. Oh, we got people tuning in on YouTube. Okay, okay, okay.
I'm so excited to be here.
Listen, I'm so excited to have you. I can't wait. I don't even want to prolong this any longer. I'm excited. It's like Christmas, and I'm ready to open my gifts because we have a treat in store for you all. So, my sister, we met, I don't remember what year it was, but you wrote a book, and we were doing a stage play adaptation, and you have an amazing life. Let me go ahead and just hit you guys with the title of the book. First of all, the book is right here. Y'all know I got the book.
That's my baby.
From the pole to the pulpit.
That's it, honey. That's
a memoir by Juva 3 Alexander. So is it literal? Did you go from the pole to the pulpit, sis?
You know what? I did. It's literal and it's metaphoric.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So from the pole, it just as it was, I was up there on the pole, in the pole. Ooh. I was on the pole, literally. However, it is also metaphoric because that pole could be almost anything. Although my pole, the literal pole, was a stripper pole itself. That pole was basically anything that was limiting me, anything that kept me stuck, anything that just kind of kept me from pursuing the thing that I'm supposed to be doing or the places and the people that I'm supposed to impact. So, and we all have a pole, you know, it's like, what does your pole look like? Does it look like lack-minded thinking? Does it look like the dead end job? Does it look like that dead end relationship that ain't going nowhere? right. So, yeah. And to the pulpit, I always say that I had a pulpit experience because we all, at some point in time, we have a come to Jesus moment. And I love God. I love Jesus. And so to the pulpit, my pulpit is almost anywhere. My pulpit, you're right here in my pulpit right this moment. My pulpit might be, you know, as I'm sitting in an Uber or, you know, in the grocery store. That's I love my pulpit at the grocery store. They know me, I know them. But, yeah. So yeah, it's literal and it's metaphoric.
Nice. And how did you get into dancing? What was it in your life that made you start dancing?
A couple of things. One, I was really broke. I was broke. And two, I guess if I'm going to just be real honest, I had no self-worth. And when you don't love yourself, you know, you'll find yourself just, you know, kind of accepting whatever. But I had a good girlfriend, how I actually started. She was like, hey, Chuva, do you want to do this bachelor's party? I don't even know why. We laugh about it now. I call her my road dog in the book. But we laugh about it now. I'm like, girl, why did you ask me that? She says, I don't know. I don't even remember asking you, but I know that you did it. So that was a start. But, you know, when you have lack-minded thinking, you always think, okay, well, I need this. I need some money. And then once I did that bachelor's party, it almost solidified. I was like, oh, heck yeah. What? I'd have made all this money in this little bit of time. But let me, girl, it was a trap, honey. And you'll see, look, it was a trap.
Listen, I'm going to show it again. From the pole to the pulpit. Ooh, wee. And I like that phrase, that lack-minded thinking.
Yeah.
If you think in lack, you're going to do just about anything to get some money.
Honey. I said there's a reason why the scripture tells us that the love of money
is the
root of all kinds of evil. And that's because, you know, if you ain't never had it before and then all of a sudden you have it, and you don't just have it, but you have it like in abundance, and it came quick, it came kind of easy or whatever. And it was, you know what I mean? In the beginning, it's all good. You know, it may seem glamorized and all this other stuff, you know, and it's like, you know, you find yourself being in compromising positions because you're like, okay, well, I made $1,000. Well, shoot. I know all I got to go in, I'm going to make $1,500. Oh, I'm going to make, you know, I'm going to make a whole bag. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it starts out maybe one particular way, but honey, that thing can escalate real quick when you have lack-minded thinking. Yeah. And you know, you develop greed, you develop that love of money, and you're like, hey, that's why you have people that are out here doing all kinds of stuff trying to get money, robbing banks,
right?
Robbing people, you know, scamming. Oh my gosh, that's like huge, right?
Yes. Now, yeah. Did you ever find yourself, I think of the movie Players Club, have you ever found yourself in a dangerous situation like young Ebony did?
Oh, no. Plenty of times, child.
Plenty of times. Wow.
Yeah.
So that's real.
That's real. It happens.
Wow. Not sips the tea.
And it's like, you know, the thing, I'm
intrigued.
Unfortunately, like I said, a lot of times when that greed kicks in, you know, you just think about it. I mean, you're not just, you develop a real hustler, manipulative mindset. Because I would see all the people in these strip clubs in this environment. I didn't even see you as a man somebody's dad, somebody's husband, somebody's whoever. I just saw you. You look like green. You look like money. And whatever it is that I needed to tell you to get whatever it is that I wanted, or I was going to tell you just that. You know, you became real
people.
Became real good at manipulating and seducing and getting what you want.
Wow. So, now, were you? I know you're married. Were you married when you were dancing?
I was towards the end. Or put it like, no, I was dating. We were dating. We're talking about many, many years ago. We were dating.
Yeah, let's be clear, y'all. This delivery happened a long time ago.
Yeah, wow. So, and when I met my big A, it was more so, when I met him, this is what I was doing. But put it like this. In that particular environment, in that circle, you know what I mean? You have people that kind of, you if you had a stripper that was a dancer, whatever, she usually would get with some dude that's a baller or that somebody that's doing something. So let's just put it like this. We rolled in the same type of circles. And just like I had to have an experience, he had to have an experience. But I can tell you, because you know, you were there for the play, and where I took kind of an adaptation of the book. And so at some point in time, you know, when these girls are out here doing their thing and they're, you know, if you have a man that really truly cares about you and love you, at some point in time, he ain't gonna want you doing it.
Right.
I don't care what kind of circle y'all ran in. You know what I mean? He's gonna be like, no. You know, unless he's a pimp, and mine wasn't a pimp. So,
right,
you know, that's just kind of, but yeah, we weren't married in the beginning of the whole thing. We were just dating.
Okay. That's wonderful. How long y'all been married?
It's 20. Wait a minute. It's a shame because you got to think of all the kids' ages. So, wait, 25 years?
Hold on, I think I have an applause button on here somewhere. Cheers.
Girl, that's work, honey.
I know. I know. Wow. 25 years married. That is so beautiful. I salute you and Big A.
Thank you.
I love it. And you have you've transitioned. You've done a lot of different things. You are an author. You are a coach. Tell me about your coaching business. Who is your ideal client?
Actually, I call myself a publications coach.
Okay.
So I started off years ago editing books. So that's my thing. I mean, I've always been a writer. I've been reading since I was like 4 years old. I probably started writing around the same time. I've always been a writer. But I started editing other authors' work. That's how I came into the game. And as I started editing other people's work, you know, God had told me years ago, go ahead and write this book, you know, and so I did it or whatever, but I didn't take off that editing hat. And not only do I edit, but I coach other writers who are like myself that want to become published authors. So I coach them in writing styles, writing techniques. I'll edit the heck up out your daggone manuscript and make it pop. And I specialize in assisting writers that are telling their story. And I think it's because I understand how much of a challenge it can be to tell your truth, no matter what your truth is. I've had different clients, you know, some that were, you know, came out of foster care systems, some that were battled crackhead era. You know, just so many different things, but I help them to push that thing up out of them. Mm-hmm. And so not only that, because I have the editing background and because I've self-published, I understand how the whole publishing game goes. And, you know, whether some of my clients, you know, they may decide they want to self-publish, and some of them decide that, hey, you know, they'd rather go to a regular publishing company. And, you know, so I kind of partner with other people and kind of help them out, other organizations, other publishing companies. And I just help them to become publish ready. That's what I do. So I'm a publications coach. I help you to become publish ready. Oh, so wow. Whether you self-publish or whether you go to somebody else.
Nice. And if someone wants to work with you and submit a work to you, how can they connect with you?
Well, they can connect through me through email. My Gmail is always good. It's juva3alexander@gmail.com. And they can always just send me a message or reach out to me via all of my social media platforms. I'm Arthur Juva 3 Alexander on Facebook, and then on YouTube, YouTube, I guess, yeah, we could talk about the YouTube, but also the Instagram, yeah, Juva 3 Alexander. So yeah, just send me a message and let me know. And also on Facebook, I have a writing and editing site, and I'll make sure that I end up putting everything in your show notes so that people can go back in and kind of click the links and stuff like that. But I have an editing service there where, you know, you could go in and just kind of, you know, go in and, you know, tell me exactly what it is that you want and what services you're looking for.
Okay, awesome. And you also are, before I get into that, I'm going to look over here and I want to make sure I give my buddy a plug. This is my family, Runneth Water.
Yes!
And alkaline. Oh, you know Dwayne?
Girl, yeah. Dwayne is my photographer, honey. That's my photographer.
Awesome? Yes. That is family. We found out we are family. Runneth Water. Make sure you guys check them out. Runneth Water Co. Listen.
I just ordered mine.
Alkaline water. I'm going to get on here and like actually drink some water. He made some commercials and sent me some current. I'm terrible. I'm sorry, Antoine.
I love it. Runneth Water.
Runneth Water. He is so dope. Yes.
And he shoots to kill, honey, every time.
And listen, that camera, his lens is popping.
I brought me some bubbles.
I'll make sure I send you some blowing bubbles.
Yay.
Oh, look. And the merch. We got the merch.
Oh, she cute. Yes, honey.
All right. That was a little pause for the cause. Listen, audience, help your sister out. Make sure you all like, comment, share. Hey, I want to shout out my people on Facebook watching. Jaja, MJ, Valerie, Net, thank you all. Please share. We are going deeper. Lolo, Easter Pit, share. Oh my goodness. And I can't see everybody else. If you don't comment, I don't know you're there. Okay.
That's right.
So back to the regularly scheduled program. You also have a podcast. What's the name of your podcast, sis?
Oh, it's The Purpose Conversation.
The Purpose Conversation. I like that. Now tell me what that's about.
The Purpose Conversation, like. And everything has derived strictly from, I guess, maybe the obedience to write my story and tell my story. I connected with Jeremiah 29:11, which of course tells us, you know, that, you know, that God has a purpose and a plan for us and is good. And I realized that part of my purpose is to help others to realize that they have one and to help them to tap into that thing, you know, because I always say that we're all put here on earth, you know, on purpose for a purpose. And so on The Purpose Conversation, I have purpose conversations because there's a purpose for absolutely everything, every season that we're in. And I'm in my second season. For the past couple of years though, I did, of course it streams on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, but I also do on my YouTube version, I do live podcasts like you do here, but I usually like to bring in people that are I don't want to just talk purpose. I want people to see what purpose looks like. Yeah. It's like, you know, so my guess have been from all walks of life doing all types of things that they were meant to do. And so I just talk to them because the thing is that, you know, when we're doing something right, there's always somebody that's watching, somebody that wants to do what it is that you're doing, somebody that's inspired, somebody that's encouraged. And so I allow people to tell their story. And you know, plenty of people that have been on the podcast themselves, our girl Van Miller.
Yeah.
Our girl Van Miller. But for her to be able to come on and just kind of share her story and her journey and be encouraged, and people look at her and they're like, and I think Van is what, daggone 60 years old, and nobody, you wouldn't, you, like, you 60, know 60 where? Yeah. Because she is absolutely fierce and fabulous, and she creates a gowns and stuff like nobody would ever know.
She does not
award winning and sweet, on sets and you know, so yeah, so that's what I do. I just kind of I talk that purpose talk, honey, with everybody.
Awesome. I would love to be a guest on your show one day.
Yes.
When do you air?
Well, you know what? I'll be real honest. For the past almost 6 months now, I've kind of put it on pause.
Okay.
I put it on pause because I had a whole lot to go on and life was just kind of happening.
Okay. So what's that about?
All right. So you know what? It is October. And October is breast cancer awareness. And at the end of April, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And so when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, it took me 2 months just to process this is what's happening. And so right now I'm right smack in the middle of treatments. And you are actually the first person that I've talk to, other than going ahead a couple of weeks ago and doing an audio podcast, but you're the first person that I've interviewed with, period, this year, because I hadn't want to come on camera. You know,
thank
of
you.
Course, yeah.
You look good though.
Thank you.
Like what you're going through.
No, but and I know that there are. I have to give a shout out to two of my support systems, my support groups that are connected to Facebook. There are breast cancer support groups. And it's so funny because I told them I shared your show and I said, hey, you know, I shared the connection through the YouTube link. And so I was telling them, I said, hey, y'all, oh, my gosh. So I'm going to do, you know, Blowing Bubbles podcast. And this is what it's all about. And I said, y'all, you know what? I'm going to talk about breast cancer. And of course, they are. Like, yeah, girl. Yeah. My warrior sister. Yes. Go ahead. I want you to do this because there's so many issues, so many things, so much. And I want to dig into it too. But when we look at people that have cancer and specifically breast cancer, we usually recognize people with cancer because like you said, I don't look like I'm going through what I'm going through. Right.
Right.
Okay. Well, give me a minute. And I know y'all like, oh no, she's not. So, I have breast cancer. I have breast cancer, and it took me a minute. My part of my support system, one of my other support system is a group of women. We're called In Touch Community. It's a community of women. They've embraced me, they love me, and they've supported me, they prayed with me and through me and for me and all this other stuff. And I know just last week, or I don't know, one of these days, we meet all the time, but you know, it was explained that, hey, you lost your crown of glory. Every woman has a crown of glory. I don't care if you had like a little bit of hair or a whole lot of hair, you know, but to be hairless, it's like, and that's all a part of, you know, the side effects of the chemotherapy. Yeah. Now, granted, some people choose other options. Some people may not necessarily have, you know, may not necessarily do chemotherapy. And, you know, and there's a whole big thing. I always say, whether you do natural remedies, and I've had so many people say, hey, have you explored other options? My answer is, when you get to this stage and you're told, first of all, that you have cancer and this thing is inside of your body and this thing is, it has the ability to overtake other things in your body and other organs, and your particular cancer, it is moving fast, it's moving aggressive. So we have to move aggressively too. You know, they're not just telling me just to be telling me, you know what I mean? Right. And some things you can do naturally and some things you can't, because, you know, for instance, I have other underlying, you know, type of issues. And don't get me wrong, y'all heard me say that I love God. I love Jesus. And I know that regardless of the outside or even what feels like that's happening in my body in general, I know that I am healed. And I know, you know, that all of this isn't my portion, is not going to take me out.
Right.
But God is going to use it. And so I had to ask God in this particular season, what the heck, you know, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do with it? And so I said, he's allowed, he didn't cause this, but he allowed it to happen to me. And he has given me a grace. And it's so funny because I was talking about that this morning. There's a grace. People look at me and they're like, oh my gosh, Juva, you're so strong. And I had gotten to the place, Karana, I cringe when people called me strong.
Mm, I can relate. Yeah.
You know, I'm like, you know, because it's funny because as a matter of fact, I was telling Dwayne at the end of last year, I was like, oh, well, you know, 2023 is coming. I don't want to be called, you know, one of God's strongest warriors, you know, and we just kind of laughed about it. But I was like, you know, I don't want to be this strong. But when you see people, I understand why they say, oh, you're so strong. You're so strong. And I had to realize that I can no longer get offended, because the strength that they see is not my own, but the strength that they see is, that's called grace, honey. You know, this isn't me. This isn't me. This isn't my doing. And so anyway. Yeah, we can talk about breast cancer though.
Hold on. I need to unwind real quick.
Blow no bubbles, girl. I'll drink some water. I don't have my running water yet.
Listen, first of all, let me say how extremely proud of you that I am.
Thank you.
For walking in grace with grace.
Thank you.
You are extremely pretty. I know you, so I know that you're a beautiful woman, but you're pretty without the hair.
Thank you.
And so many women fall to insecurities. I hope that so many people, and I want you all and even everybody, share this. I want you all to thank you for sharing your testimony.
Y'all share.
Share. I want somebody, if there's a woman out there who is feeling so horrible about herself, baby girl, you are still beautiful. Just know yes. That you are still pretty. You are gorgeous. Face your mirror. I don't know if you saw my TikTok I did a few months. It's been a while I did that. And it is the mirror, note to self.
Ooh.
And there was a time I didn't like my mirror. Mm. And when I finally faced my mirror, I literally just, the words just started pouring out of my mouth. And I said, hello, gorgeous. Hey there, beautiful. Where you been? I haven't seen you in a while. You look amazing. So breathtaking. I must admit, I really missed your smile. In all the world, there's only one of you. Don't sell yourself short, my sister. You're wonderful. Look in the mirror. Who do you see? I see a beautiful queen staring right back at me. That became my affirmation to overcome that part of my life. And that person who didn't like her mirror, she died that day.
I love it.
And no matter what, I love me inside and out. And I want those words to rest on you. I hope that you embrace all of you. No
Thank
matter
you.
What, you still, your crown of glory has gone nowhere. That is immovable because it was given to you by the one who has an unchanging hand.
Thank you.
You threw me off. I wasn't ready. I thought I was ready, but I wasn't ready. It was like, oh my gosh. And I have to acknowledge, I can see your port scar right over your heart.
Yep.
Man, I love that you are bold and brave enough and confident enough to wear your scoop neck shirt and show that off. I know so many women who are intimidated and uncomfortable with their scars. We have scar, baby. That's a battle scar. That means you are still here.
Yes.
You are still here. I am so, so, so very proud of you. I'm so honored to call you my sister. Oh, my goodness. Let me blow some more bubbles because I'm rambling.
Blow some bubbles. And you know what? Thank you so much for just your beautiful words, your words of affirmation. Not just for me, but for so many other queens right now that are having to do this. Because let me tell you what happens. In the whole process of chemo, you know, there are some chemo drugs that won't cause hair loss, but the majority of them, especially if it's breast cancer, the chemo drugs that we're usually prescribed, it, one of the side effects, of course, is alopecia. But your even though, I mean, I started off with hair, you know, I've had my natural, my fro for years, you know, and I you know, I put it in my protective style, my braids or whatever, love my braids. But it's like once that drug starts working in and it starts killing off, because it started killing cells, you know, it's attacking some cancer cells, it's attacking cells, period. That's why, you know, all of the things such as rest and nutrition and hydration and protein intake and stuff like that is so important when you're going through chemotherapy, your diet and stuff, whatever it is that you're putting in your body, it's so important because the chemo drugs is, it's like killing some of everything, you know what I mean? So, but when it eats at your hair follicles, and I said, oh my gosh, I don't think I have ever in my entire life felt my daggone hair follicles. I was like, I could feel, there's no way to describe it. And I'm saying this because I know that my sisters, y'all, my warrior sisters, y'all understand, you know. It's like it kind of, you can feel it. It itch, it hurts, and it's like to cut your hair is almost a relief.
Wow.
And I went through this thing. I was like, okay, I'm like sitting up here watching my hair shed like in clumps, big clumps of hair. Like, oh my gosh. And this happened 11 days after treatment. I noticed the hair shedding. And then I was like, oh, this is real bad. Oh, this ain't gonna work. I gotta do something about this. And my scalp's going crazy. So I went and I just cut it off. I had a few plaits, I cut them off. And then after I cut them, I was like, okay, what the heck? I couldn't use the clippers and figure the rest out. And I freaked out. I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot shave my head. And so I called the local barber. Let me tell you how God works. I called my local barber. I don't go to the barbershop. You know, my son, you know, cuts his own hair. And, you know, and of course, you know, my man is completely bald. So, you know, I was like, I called the local barber. This lady answered the phone and I explained, hey, I need to have, you know, I need to have my hair shaved. This is what's happening, you know, and she just says, just come on. She was like, you know, just come on. And so I said, okay. So I went to the shop and it was just her. She saw me come in. She was like, hey. She was like, you ready? And I said, yeah. Like she was waiting for me. And there was one barber. He was sitting in a chair. He went ahead and he went to the back to give us like some privacy. And I was like, I'm sorry. I know I'll probably be a little emotional. She was like, it's okay, mommy. Come on. And so she shaved my head for me. Afterwards, we both cried. She gave me tissues. She gave me a hug. She refused payment. And she says, nope. She says, I want you to go and buy yourself something that makes you feel good. So, of course, I went and bought coffee. And not just coffee, but I went and got like a flavored type of yummy type of coffee. So she wanted me to treat myself. And so I did that. But just to know that, first of all, there was a female barber and she was right there to help me. And she helped shave my head. But it is a lie for a lot of women. We hear all the time, oh, it's just hair. It'll grow back. And all of that is true. It's just hair. It's just, it'll grow back and or whatever. But we are still connected to that hair.
Yes.
We still want that hair. And it's very difficult sometimes to get over the fact that, hey, I'm going to be bald. But you know what, ladies, just so that y'all know, it will grow back. It will grow back. But if you've reached that point where one thing is true, you know that needs to go, you're gonna be pushed to the point. But it was kind of freeing. It was kind of freeing.
Nice. So, yeah. I love that. You want to give your barber a shout out?
It's called Good Looks Barbers. Good Looks Barbers, and they are in Pineville, North Carolina. Good Looks Barbers.
That is a shop that is worthy of a shout out here on the
podcast. Yeah. Absolutely.
I love just hearing good humanitarian stories. You know, there's so much negativity that gets broadcast.
Right.
The chance I have to share something positive that a human being just decided to do for another human being, I'm going to take that chance.
Yeah.
I love it. Now, what is your chemotherapy regimen like? Tell me about that.
Okay. Well, first of all, I guess let me tell you that what I have, it is, I initially started out with, I know that I had the diagnosis for a while. I've had one surgery already, which was the removal of my right breast, because that's where the cancer was located. It started out, and ladies, let me tell you, if you do self-examinations, you see anything wrong, anything that don't feel right, an extra tingle, an extra anything, something ain't right, go and get it checked out and be an advocate for yourself. Yes. Be an advocate and push. Make them give you an MRI if that's what you need to do. But for a while, I had something that was going on with my nipple itself. And I was like, it was like, you know, I had like a discharge. Now, first of all, my kid is an old teenager now. You know, it's been a while since I had any type of discharge coming out my boobs. No milk, no, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but it was a discharge. And then it became like the nipple itself just kind of deteriorated. It was awful. It wouldn't get better. So, you know, I put like, you know, some ointment on it. And not only that, I mean, we were trapped in the pandemic and you couldn't, and I was in a new city in a new state and trying to find the right doctors. And, you know, anyway, so come to find out, I was diagnosed with what they call Paget disease of the breast. And it starts out in the nipple. And from there, it got into the duct lining of my breast and it produced the cancers there. The Paget's disease of the breast itself, it's like a rare form of cancer. So my surgical oncologist, she already told me off the bat, oh, that whole thing is going to have to go, you know. And so I had, because of the spread, I went ahead and I had the mastectomy first. And then because once you do all of the pathologies and stuff like that of the breast, and, you know, for those that are familiar with oncology, I'm what they call is triple positive, which means that the cancers are, they like my hormones. And so it's like the, your hormones are kind of producing or attracting cancer. Yeah. So chemotherapy was going to have to be part of my,
of course,
my regimen. So I have 12 rounds of Taxol, which is the chemotherapy drug itself. And then in conjunction, I also have like an immunotherapy. So I go every Friday for 12 weeks for the Taxol and the immunotherapy. And I have 6 weeks left to go. But the thing is that with the chemo, you know, that's for 12 weeks. But the immunotherapy portion will continue for a year. And then in addition to that, I will have to take a targeted chemotherapy pills, so to speak, for numerous of years, so that, you know, the cancer won't decide to, you know, decide to come back and come on to the other breast or another part of the body, because I didn't even realize you can get breast cancer in another part of your body, you know, but it happens. So, but if, like I said, if anybody ever, if you feel, get your mammograms. And if you are too young for them to necessarily schedule you a mammogram, make sure you check your family history. You know, I didn't even realize, like, if you even have people, men in your life, you know, your siblings or your first cousins with prostate cancer, that prostate cancer and breast cancer, that they're kind of like, you know, kind of linked together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, know your medical family history as much as possible. Get checked out. Get your mammogram. Stay on top of it and be an advocate for yourself. Be an advocate. When something doesn't feel right, something doesn't seem right, go and get it checked out and educate yourself. Educate yourself on what it is that you have going on, because you're going to have everybody in your ear. Everybody's going to be in your ear. Everybody's going to tell you, well, you should do this and, well, you should do that. Educate yourself. Find out what is the best plan of action for you and what it is that's going on with your particular body at the time. Because like I said, you know, everybody can't just necessarily do a natural regimen. Right. You know, some people have to have chemo, and my chemotherapy regimen, it isn't even as intense as some people's. Some people's it's shoot, oh my gosh, you know. So, but that's what my regimen is. So I'm gonna be at this for a while, 6 more weeks for the chemo, and then my hair could grow back. I don't know if I want it to grow back, but
girl, you look good. You look good.
Thank you. Thank you.
You should get Dwayne and you do a photo shoot. How about that?
Girl. Anyway, soon to come. Soon to come. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
I'm here for it. I'll put something fabulous together, like I did that one time. We did the whole warehouse.
Yes. It was absolutely, yes. Because you be doing it, epic. Honey.
That was epic. Yes, I would do that for you. Oh my
gosh. Oh my gosh.
Now, Lolo Pitt said, beautiful testimony, Juba.
Thank you.
Lorenzo Dawkins, they're on Facebook too. Danielle Jackson said, she's beautiful. Lorenzo said, that's real talk. Thank you all. Thank you all. Please make sure you share. This is very powerful and important information for people to know. Now, have you had to do, or do you, they anticipate you having to do radiation as well?
Actually, no, I will not have to do radiation. So that is a plus. That's a huge plus for me, which means in December, I can actually go and I'll have surgery scheduled, reconstructive surgery.
Okay.
So they can build me a boob. and they could build me a boo. My adult daughter, she told me, she's like, Mama, don't tell me, because I told them, I was like, honey, they can use all the body fat they wanted, all the daggone, they can have all this fat, they can take some and give some to a few other people if that's what they want to do. And she says, oh, don't tell me you're gonna end up having a 360 life, bro, and you're gonna be snatched. I was like, well, honey, well, whatever you want to call it. I said, daggone it. I said, yep, they're gonna build me a boob. I'm gonna tell them to lift the other daggone one. Why not?
You're in there.
I've been through enough.
That's right. Oh my goodness. I got Mr. Blackie says she's beautiful and courageous. Thank you. Yes. I love it. Now, are they at all concerned about the left breast?
No. And I did make sure, because I toyed with that idea, because of course, you know, we all know somebody that had breast cancer. And one of my cousins, she's like, I've had it 3 times. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, and I thought about it. I initially thought that maybe I'd let them just go ahead and just do the whole thing, do both of them. But I elected not to do that. There wasn't anything that was going on, nothing that looked crazy or suspicious or anything. The mask was clearly in the right, and it was, you know, it was invasive, and it was a big, huge block of it, you know. But they were able to get what they needed, and but no, they're not concerned about the left one. If they felt concerned about the left one at all, believe me, that I have to give a shout out to Atrium, I guess the Levine Cancer Center in Charlotte, North Carolina. They do not play around, honey. Okay. That daggone cancer hospital is on it. All they do is cancer. So they make sure that they take care of you. They keep you informed. They keep you, let you know the different options, and just kind of keep you updated. I think the main thing that I would encourage, though, is support. If you have somebody, a loved one or whatever that has cancer, that's going through it or whatever, an encouraging word. We have to keep positive energy for real. I don't do nothing negative.
What are some of the ways that people may not realize, but some simple ways that people can support someone, a sister warrior?
Oh my gosh. Somebody that is going through, surgery. Okay. It is very helpful. If you could have somebody, and I know it may not even seem like a whole lot, but you're going to be down and out for a minute. Somebody that could come and help you clean your house. If they can't help you clean your house, they might be able to throw $40, $50 to get somebody to come in and clean the house for you. Help to meal prep. Or even if they can't necessarily meal prep, you know, I did a whole lot of, you know, food delivery types of things, because you're not necessarily going out. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a thing that you do or whatever, but, you know, call people, you know, let them know that you're thinking about them, because it's you already feel like, you know, you're kind of sometimes, you know, just kind of by yourself battling this thing out, and people looking at you, but it's like, you know, call people up. One of the really cool things that the ladies in my community that they've done for me, to this day, almost every single day I get a card. A card that encourages me, a card that may have something funny, a card that's filled with God's word, encouraging me, pushing me. But they also know that my love language is words of affirmation. So, you know, but maybe dropping somebody a card. I even had a group of girlfriends that dropped off a big basket of some of everything, candles and goodies and just stuff in my driveway. Another thing you can do is just listen to them, you know, because I have some girlfriends, you know, hey, honey, we did our monthly girls night out, and we ain't able to necessarily do that right at the moment, but I can call them up, or they'll call me up, and we just talk about nothing, you know, just call your girl and check on her. Or during chemotherapy and stuff, that's a little different. That's a beast, honey. Oh my gosh. Because you can get very sick. You can get very sick. Pray for people. That I think that's the best support you could ever do.
Yeah.
Praying for people. You can I don't know. Give people, maybe somebody needs a ride to the service, because you can't necessarily drive yourself depending on which chemo drugs you have and, you know, all of the preparatory medications before, you know, mine knocks me out. I can't drive. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, either I have to Uber or either I have to have somebody to just kind of take me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but there are so many things you could do. Just listen to them.
I want to interject right here. I'm feeling a little bit convicted, and I'm gonna be transparent. So I guess I'm feeling like I haven't been the best friend. You are going through all of this, and not so long ago I hurt my knee, and you reached out to me several times. Girl, how you doing? What you need? Do you need anything? I feel so bad.
Don't you do that?
I feel bad.
No, ma'am.
Your fight is a fight.
Honey, a fight is a fight. A fight is a fight. And not, but come on now.
That's just a further testament to your character and how actually beautiful a person that you are. And I'm honored for my sister to be my sister. Juva, you are gorgeous always, Dion.
Thank you.
Man, thank you. But yes, I love that those nuggets. If you know anybody who is going through cancer treatments, any chronic ailment, find different ways to show that you care, show that you're thinking of them, show that they are not alone.
Yes.
That is so very important.
And you know what, too? You know what, too, Karana? Sometimes people don't know what to say. They and it's okay. It is totally okay if you don't know what to say. There's some things you probably don't need to say. And it's so funny because some of the ladies in our cancer support group will talk about things like that, you know, people saying, oh yeah, so you know, at least you'll get some new boobs or you know, that's I mean, we don't necessarily want to hear that. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, we may have to get some new boobs, but I would much rather have my old droopy, saggy, little puny, shriveled up boobs, you know, that are cancer free than to deal with all of this. You know, some people just don't know what to say.
And less is more for you goofballs to say that. I'm sorry. Oh my goodness. Now, how old are your children now?
My baby is 15. My baby girl, she just started at Georgia State. So she's there in Atlanta. She's 18, soon to be 19 in a couple of weeks. I have one that is just turned 27, one that is 24, and one that is 32. So okay. I have five.
Yeah.
Okay. So from 15 to 32, and then my grandson, Sean, my Poodah, he's 8.
Girl, grandbaby.
Yes.
Now, how has this impacted your children? What's their time been like?
My girls. Oh my gosh, I miss my girls because all of my girls are in Georgia. Let me tell you, this was. When I found out the diagnosis, of course, this was in the middle of two children graduating, one graduating high school and one graduating college. And we end up telling them all when everybody was all together on Mother's Day. Mother's Day. Was it Mother's Day? Yeah. It was Mother's Day or Mother's Day weekend. And I felt like a little running from kid to kid because everybody's breaking down and crying. It was a lot. My oldest, I got to give it to her because she has been basically kind of with my mother. My mother had breast cancer and she ended up with throat cancer. But my daughter was there with her, you know, just primarily with her. And so she already kind of had it together that, hey, this is kind of like what, you know what I mean? What to do. So she's always been just kind of a level head. And the other ones, and of course, you know, you have that oldest one with the level head and the oldest one is always the boss. The oldest one and the middle one is always the boss. So they got everybody else in line, told them what to do. And so we roll with it. We roll with it. Now, of course, you know, I have my 15-year-old that my football star. And I was feeling some type of way because, you know, I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to be at the games, but, you know, I didn't want him to be embarrassed. You know what I mean? He's a teenager, but of course he isn't. He loves me. And the family is supportive. They love their mama and I love them. And it was challenging initially, but we roll up our sleeves. We do what we got to do. We take care of one another.
Yeah. Now, how about Big A? How's?
I ask him all the time, are you okay? You know, because not only did he have to deal with the blow of me having cancer, but his mother, you know, has cancer as well. Oh gosh, you'd be like, what the heck is going on with the family? But, you know, it's kind of like a double whammy for him. And so I was real concerned because I was like, you know, I didn't know if he was just kind of out here numb to it all. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But anyway, we take care of each other. I tell him all the time. I was like, man, you are the MVP because look at you. I said, your wife bald headed, just like you. I said, your wife is bald headed. She got one boo. And then she got all this little extra. She a little extra thickums. And so, but.
And he loved that extra thickums, don't he?
But he's a trooper. I'll give it to him. He's a trooper. So, but I do know that anytime that you support a family member, a close family member, it isn't necessarily easy. Mm-hmm. It isn't easy. It's hard on everybody. You know what I mean?
Are there have they found support groups for family members?
They do, and then it just kind of depends on your availability to be able to kind of do it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, so they do. But you know, honestly, sometimes with men, that's why you got to have a conversation and a check-in all the time because, you know, sometimes men, you know, they may not necessarily be good and don't know how to navigate through that stuff. So that's why I'm real big about talking to my sons and making sure, you know, just kind of having a conversation. You good? You okay? You know, how are you feeling or whatever? And just talking about it because it's hard for them to be a support. I know it's hard. You know, it's hard. You know, and then especially with me, I'm bossy. And then I get sickly and then they're like, oh my gosh, they don't know what the heck to do with me, you know. But I know that it's tough. So I do want to tell everybody that's out there that is a support to somebody that is dealing with cancer or some sort of sicknesses or illnesses, hold on. And I told my prayer partner this morning. Just like people can look at me and somebody, so you can look at somebody and say, oh, they are so strong. And remember I said that the strength that you see, that's actually just God's grace, you know, but that same grace that is on that loved one that you are having to support and love and care for and go to appointments with and all this other stuff, that same grace is also available to you, because I know that you get tired. You get tired, and then you feel bad because sometimes, you know, you're upset that this person is sick. You're upset that this person has to deal with this. And so you have to navigate all those feelings, and you're upset with yourself because you're like, dang, gone. Am I resenting them because they're sick? And, you know, and then what if I have a bad attitude towards them? You know, it's not always easy. So we all need a break. We all need a little bit of grace. We need to give ourselves some grace. And take a moment, all the caregivers, all the supporters or whatever. Don't beat yourself up because, you know, sometimes, you know, it ain't always butterflies and rainbows, you know, and it gets to be hard, especially when, like I said, you have somebody that they're just like sickly. You know, you look at me now, I'm good. You know, girl, it's Wednesday, I'm good. You know, my, if I'm usually sick, it's like starting, you know, maybe a couple days after chemo. But it can be kind of hard, you know? So. Wow.
And have you found, within the support groups, have you found like an immediate coping mechanism that you can just go to escape mentally?
I think for everybody that might be a little different. For me personally, one of the things that I do just to escape has been to write. So I'm glad that you said that you have some ideas and some stuff that you want, because you and I got to talk, you know, because I have a project in mind and it's going to be so dope. And yeah, we may need Dwayne on this one, but I write. I write. That's how I relieve myself. And I journal a lot. And speaking of journaling, I'm going through a journaling with a group of ladies right now. And it's something about community and just being able to write. But you have some women that are writing, some women that, you know, like one support group that I'm in, primarily, although it's a group for everybody, I know that this group, this community is primarily the creators. It's her outlet. You know, and I'm cool with that. You know, I'm totally cool with that, because she almost kind of uses it as like a, not necessarily a dot. Well, just to say, hey, this is what the heck it is that I am going through. And I'm tired of being freaking sick. I'm tired of this and I'm tired of that or whatever. Or either, you know, hey, you know, I've had a really great day today. It's her way to document. And so that's been her way to cope. And I'm all for it, you know. And so if I'm able to offer words of encouragement, or I'm able to go there and receive encouragement, because, you know, there are several women that are there, then that's all good too.
Nice.
But yeah, we do all kinds of things. Bounce ideas off one another, create, talk, share information. We do a lot of sharing information. So if anybody feels that they are out there and you need a support group, you probably have never thought about just doing a search on Facebook for your particular breast cancer. And I guarantee you there's a support group that's right there that other women have the exact same thing or whatever. And it is, I can't tell you, it's something being able to be encouraged, but to be in the midst of it with other women that are going and facing the same things that you're faced with or whatever, and they're able to share stuff, you know, things like, you know, things that I probably wouldn't have even known. Hey, well, you know, do this particular exercise after you have surgery, or to do this, or to prepare, or to, you know, because you get so much information and we truly learn another. And it is a beautiful thing. It's like somebody's always having surgery. Somebody's always having chemo. Somebody's always having radiation. Somebody is always talking about, you know, somebody is always cutting their hair off for the first time. Somebody's always experiencing something, and we learn from one another. We encourage one another. We motivate one another. We educate one another, push one another. And we sometimes just let you cry, let you cuss everybody out or whatever. Don't matter, you know? So
but that is so important.
It is so important.
Go ahead.
I said, it is so important. So for those that are out here and you feel like you have no support system, and believe me, like I said, one of the, my cancer team, they were on it. But one of the first things that they told me, my nurse navigator, she says, well, I want to make sure that you have a support system in place because you're going to need it. And she's right. So if anybody's out there, you don't have it, it, even if you have to find it online, do that. Do that.
Right. And before we wrap up, remind the people where they can find you, follow you, support you.
Okay. So you can find me on all of the platforms. You can find me through the Purpose Conversation. They're on YouTube and Instagram and even TikTok. You can also find me on here on Facebook, Author Juva Threat Alexander. And Threat is spelled just like threat. Juva Threat Alexander. Or you can also find me, I think, yeah. And I even have the Purpose Conversation on LinkedIn. So yeah, on all of them.
Nice.
And you can find my books. I have two right now. I have From the Pole to the Pulpit. As a matter of fact, I just had my 7-year anniversary. I cannot believe it's been 7 years and God is still doing stuff with that one. So yeah. So
Let's run it up. And what's your other book title?
The other one is for girls. It's the Purpose Conversation Journal for Girls. And it's for your tweens and your young teens. So I released that for them, for all of my young girls, my young queens, because I want them writing. I want them creating. I want them thinking outside the box. And basically what I did was think of 30 things that I wish somebody had, kind of poured into me. I pour into those young women by the way of writing prompts. And so, it's not like just a journal, dear diary type of thing. I'm going to make you think. I'm going to make you think about some stuff. I'm going to make you think about affirmations, make you think about things that you're saying and things that you're speaking over yourself. But yeah. So.
Nice. And in closing, I want to remind everybody, because Juva is a mother of five. Ladies, make sure that you are taking care of yourself. Because when mom goes down, that ship is not running like it needs to run.
No.
And please do your breast self-exams. Get those mammograms. I just thank you, first of all, to you. Because I just made my annual appointment today for my mammogram. So I get it in.
Yes. Get them boobs checked, girl.
Get them checked. Go get that.
That's right. That's right. It's uncomfortable. Ooh, but believe
it's me. Especially when you don't have very much. Good.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, you're pulling dag on my little skin.
You want all the epithelials? Come
That's
on.
That's right. That's right.
Yes. So I thank you for that reminder. Piedmont sent me an email and I'm like, how dare I not make this appointment? I was due in August.
And yep, get it done, y'all.
That reminder. And I want to encourage everybody, find your village, find your support. If you feel like you're alone in this world, tap into me. I will connect you to I am a master of resources. I don't even know how I know all the stuff that I know.
She is, y'all.
And this is why I wanted to come onto this medium, a podcast space, because I want to be able to interact and reach people and let people be able to reach me. I got a lot in me and it's time to pour it out. So I thank you for being a part of my journey, another part of my journey, because we've been connected.
Yes, we have.
And we're going to stay connected. So you all know how we sign off here. Uh-oh, wait a minute, Duds.
Uh-oh.
There we go. We sign off by saying, stay popping.
Stay popping.